prayer, coming in on a wing and a prayer. Though there's one motor gone, we can still carry on, coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Back again with Lake Effect. Every year, people who live to build and fly small planes descend, literally, on Oshkosh for the Experimental Aircraft Association fly-in. The event dates back more than 50 years when a small group of avid aviators came together to share their dreams and schemes. Now the gathering is the biggest in the world. Lake Effect's Susan Bentz motored up to the EAA grounds last week to meet a few of those airplane junkies. Susan's first stop was the Warbirds area. 200 planes, some more than 70 years old, lined up this year. Susan met up with pilots Stan Marcus from Oconomowoc and a couple of his comrades just back from an early morning flight.
Stan Marcus started the day flying formation with two pilots from Texas. They're debriefing now, talking through the flight. It's all about fine-tuning their skills. Stan caught the aircraft bug 20 years ago, the year of his first EAA fly-in. His plane is a T-6. Stan says 20,000 T-6s were used to train Air Force crews around the globe. His served in South Africa during World War II.
This plane was built in the United States and was sent on the SS Moody and brought to Cape Town, and they used it for the war effort. So there's kind of an interesting aspect.
Well,
they took all the good radios out of it and mothballed them, and I got one. The engine, the office, and the engine. This is a South African coin, and every time you have an engine overhauled, this Pratt & Whitney's, it just turns out that a penny will fit in here. So the guys always put a penny the year that they overhaul it. Since this is South African, I went over to the campsite where the South Africans are camped, and there are people from all over the world here. I mean, literally the whole world gathers here at Oshkosh. And so I got a South African penny, so that was cool.
And there's another a yellow one over there.
Stan's busy securing his T-6 when a visitor wanders up to the plane. His name is Brian Stockland. He's a South African war historian. It's his second pilgrimage to Oshkosh. To an outsider, it feels like he's just been reunited with a long-lost friend. I'm talking about the T-6, not Stan.
But for years and years. I mean, they flew with the South African Air Force from the war years, 1943, I think they started. And, I mean, we only retired them in the 70s.
90s, actually.
Oh, 90s, sorry, way over 70s, in the 90s, 1995, I think.
That's right. They had when they retired them, they brought them all out on the field. There was, how many?
So they had a 50-ship
flypast. Yeah, they had a 50-ship flypast.
And that was a traumatic time. I tell you, there were grown men that cried that day. Now we've got a handful still flying in South Africa.
I leave Brian and Stan in deep conversation. I want to learn more about the EAA briefing system. There'll be a lot of planes in the skies this week. It's Wayne Boggs' job to orchestrate the air shows. Wayne's talking to Warbird pilots who are new to the fly-in this year.
For Warbirds of America, welcome to Oshkosh. It is truly a unique adventure. You'll hear me say it in the brief at times. You're the man or woman that straps that seat on, okay? It's you and you alone. As you get up in the morning and you're going to come out here and fly and these types of things, you assess that how you feel and what you want to do, and is this a good thing to do? I cannot make that decision for you.
Jim Welch is hanging out outside the briefing. Jim breezed up from Arkansas in the back seat of a Yak 52. I found out that's a Russian trainer. This is Jim's initiation to the fly-in phenomenon, too.
I'm a plumber.
Are you a good plumber?
I'm the best there on.
Do you have your own aircraft?
I do not.
You could build one.
Not when you work as much as I work. See, you don't have time for that.
So when do you get a chance to fly?
I fly actually more than I should. A friend.
The
friend of mine is also a recent. Well, I've been instrument rated about a year and a half, and he's been instrument rated about.
What does that mean, instrument rated?
That means when it's low-level clouds, you fly through them. Everybody go through them, but to be able to navigate and come back down
exactly.
Certain points, just like the big birds do, all the same deal.
Is it terrifying at first?
It's really spooky when you're in a cloud. It's like being in a sheet, I guess you'd say, because you don't know if you're upside down or not, except the instruments tell you.
Do you sort of feel like there has to be something coming at you?
Well, you just feel like, what am I fixing to hit?
So what does your family think of your flying? Is it an obsession?
Well, I don't know. My wife doesn't fly because she's been three times and lost things twice. But I have nine brothers and sisters, and they all think I'm crazy. Only a couple of us flown with me. The best was I was in the backseat of this yak with my brother-in-law, and we were doing tactical with some other airplanes, which is dogfighting. We pulled 5.5 G's on one move, and that's the most exciting.
There's a great big EAA world outside the Warbird Arena. I'm looking at a sea of home-built airplanes. James Clark owns one of them. He cruised in from Columbia, South Carolina, and proudly flies an RV-6 he built from a kit. Clark is just back from a flying formation with 34 RVs from around the country.
A lot of people are more accustomed to the big, expensive Warbirds doing this, and so they're kind of like, you know, who are those guys? We come to be better, you know, and we practice harder.
It's a competitive business here.
No, it's not competitive at all, but we just know that we need to be better. We practice harder, we practice more to, like, stringent standards.
How were you attracted to flying?
My folks own a farm in northern Florida, and from time to time my dad would hire crop dusters to come spray the crops. And, you know, those guys are a different breed. You know, they'd be right there a few feet off the, right at the tops of the crops, and they go right to the ends of the pine trees and go vertical and then do wing overs and come straight down and, you know, go back. My dad took me and my nephew with him when he went to pay them, and there was some little grass strip somewhere, and they had two or three other planes, and I was looking. And the guy came up and said, "Young fellow, look like you're interested in airplanes. Would you like to go for a ride?" Well, my dad was born just before the Wright brothers ever flew. Before I could open my mouth, there was, "Ain't no way in." You got to be out of your, you know, he was of the school, if God meant for you to fly, you'd sprout a set of wings. But my nephew said, and I don't remember this, that I was so mad that I said, "One day I'll fly one myself."
So how many one days was it before?
Many years.
Wait, I've got to put my thingy on the cap. Hold on.
I wander outside Fly-In Central to meet Roger White and his wife Emma Jane from Oklahoma. They're relaxing in a shady spot outside their camper. At 79, Roger's an original EAA member, and he's a man with an abiding love of flying.
Well, when I first got out of service, I always wanted to be had ambition of being an airline captain or something, you know. And about that time, there were about a zillion pilots looking for jobs coming out of service, and so I saw that was going to be difficult. Anyway, I decided I'd just keep it for a hobby, which it has been.
You were working, you had a family, you were taking courses.
Well, I didn't have a family, so I probably never would have been a pilot.
So did you have your first plane before you were married?
That old J-4, yeah.
How big is a J-4?
Well, a two-place Piper.
And how many have you made since?
Five.
Do you have all of them?
No, I'd get rid of one or sell it or something and build another. I think probably I enjoy building them about as much as I do flying.
I'm on the wrong way, so you guys just turn right into the grass now, and that way you can avoid him. And there looks like a low wing coming in for runway 18, or actually 3.
Roger White and his wife have visited with Susan Bentz at the Experimental Aircraft Association fly-in last week in Oshkosh. Roger still flies his favorite plane called a Pete and Pole. The design dates back to the 1930s. Of course, Roger built it himself. And just ahead, a Fox Point family learns all about Ethiopia, homeland of the boy who very soon will be their son. You're listening to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I wish that I could fly into the sky.